please, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter 8 with me today. The book of John, chapter number 8. Let me make this announcement concerning Mr. Raymond Gregory's passing this week. He's known as Brother Shorty around here. He passed away this week. He battled cancer for a long, long time. And those arrangements are tomorrow night from 5 to 7 at East Lawn Funeral Home in Kingsport. Burial on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Again, Monday night, tomorrow night, 5 to 7. Funeral at 7 o'clock, East Lawn Funeral Home. Burial at 10 o'clock there at the funeral home. This weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and we stand in awe of our military and those who've served and those who are serving. And I'll be honest with you, I had another message prepared. The Lord has brought me to a message that I've preached before here. I couldn't get away from it, so I know He's in it. And I'd like to ask all the military, those who are veterans, those who have served and no longer active, or those who are actively serving today, if all of our military family, if you wouldn't mind to stand at this time, I'd like to recognize you, all those who have served or are serving. I salute every one of you. God bless you. I think it's appropriate that we give them a nice round of applause. There's no question about that. You may be seated. Thank you. One reason we're standing, I'm standing and you're sitting, with no threat of being ambushed, if you will. Now, it's always a possibility, you understand. But by the way, don't let that make you nervous, but it's always a possibility. No threat of ambush by the police authorities anyway, coming in and carrying us off to prison. It's because the Lord has used the military in a great way. And today I want to say I am glad and proud to be an American. And let me say this, if you don't like it, get out of it. Amen. Go try one of these other countries and see if you're saying the same thing. I'm not trying to be unkind, but my friends, there's been bloodshed for this country. And I'm glad I can stand up and preach the Word of God with liberty today and not have to worry about being hauled off to prison. Now, praise the Lord, I hope it stays that way. We don't know yet, you understand? But we hope it stays this way for years to come. I want to give you a message today that's on my heart. I've preached it here before, but I just cannot get away from this. I preach to you today on this topic, freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. John chapter 8, verse number 36, it's the only verse we'll read as far as our text is concerned. Jesus speaking makes this statement, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you again. Freedom is not free. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you help us to be faithful to you. Help our attitude, help our spirit, help everything about us to be God-honoring. And may we truly have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins. Help us to be right before you. And as we preach this message today, I stand in need of you. And I confess that before all these people and before you, I understand I need you. And I don't want anything between us. Please help us to be right with you. Thy will be done, I pray. If somebody's here today that does not know you as Savior, may today be the glorious day where they trust Jesus Christ. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a great country that the Lord has truly blessed in a wonderful way. This land of America, there's one word that rings, and it's the word freedom. We in America know freedoms that many other parts of the world do not know anything about. One of these great freedoms we're exercising now, the freedom to gather in this place to worship the Lord without threat of being ambushed and thrown into jail. Thank God for the freedom we have in this great country. However, it's important for us to remember that this freedom that we enjoy in this country did not come without a price. This freedom did not come free. As a matter of fact, freedom is not free. There have been several people the Lord has used down through the years. Some of them are in this very room to help make America free as she is today. Among these people would be what is known as the American soldier. God has used the soldier to help us have the freedom we have today. Some have even given their lives to help keep America free. I hope I can make it through this message because I'm reading a book right now that Mr. Ed Perkins allowed me to read. And I'm right in the middle of it. And it's about an American POW in World War II. And that book has me torn all to pieces. It's a true story. Friends, we just don't know what some of these American soldiers have endured. As a matter of fact, there have been several wars in which our citizens, young and old, have participated in to help keep America free. Among these wars would be World Wars I and II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, the Iraqi wars, on and on we can go. In these wars, the Lord has used the soldier to help keep America free. Thank God for the soldiers. The veterans, those currently serving, and those who are departed, whether they gave their life for their country or whether they've just died from old age, whatever the case may be. We can ask these dear men and women who are living today, who paid the price, and ask them, this freedom that we have in this country, is it free? And many of them firsthand know that our freedom came with a high price. What I want to do today is take an American soldier and put him on display for us all to see and show how freedom really is not free. It's amazing to walk through this simple display. It's just, I believe it's four simple thoughts. If it's five, you'll forgive me, right? But I think it's four. I want to walk through this simple display of an American soldier. Just four major thoughts that summarize a soldier and how he or she is willing to pay the ultimate price to keep freedom ringing in America. And as we do this, I'm going to be making a biblical comparison. And I understand that on one side we're going to put the American soldier, and on the other side we're going to put the soldier above all soldiers. His name is Jesus Christ. And we're going to compare that. It's amazing that these same four things that summarize the American soldier, the same four things summarize the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. I'm glad that the Lord paid the price. And let me say with utmost respect today that more important than freedom in America, and that's important, but more important than freedom in America is the freedom of our soul. And just like the freedom of America took the sacrifice of others, the freedom of our soul took the sacrifice of the blessed Son of God. Four major thoughts I want to give you, and I pray He helps me get through it. Number one, as we think, I'm going back and forth between tears and strength and everything else. Somebody asked me today, he said, "Preacher, are you wearing red, white, and blue?" I said, "I've got white on, blue on, and my face gets red when I preach. Glory to God." Thought number one of the American soldier, and the same thing applies to the Lord Jesus Christ with His redemption of our soul. Number one, the soldier leaves his country and leaves his home. The soldier leaves those comforts that he has here on the homeland. And veterans and so on can vouch for this, and those who are in active duty who have fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, and some of you are here today, can vouch to the fact that no doubt one of the hardest things for the soldier is leaving his country, leaving his home. I remember when I was putting this message together the first time, I believe it was the day before I put this message together, I spoke to one of our veterans about coming home after his tour of duty. And he said, and I quote, "You can't imagine stepping off the plane knowing your feet are on American soil." And my friends, I'm telling you that an American soldier pays a high price by leaving the comforts of the freedoms of America and putting himself in a place of danger. And in the same way, may I tell you tonight, this morning, that the lovely Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son, the Bible teaches that He left His country. He left heaven to be born in a humble cattle stable some 2,000 years ago. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 6, it says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Jesus, the King of glory, King of the ages, the Lord of heaven and earth, so He might redeem you and me, left home and came to walk as a man upon this earth. John chapter 6 and verses 32 and following puts it this way. It says, Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He," here it is, "which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto Him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus said twice in these verses here, He said, "I'm the one who has come down from a place called heaven." I'm telling you, it's a terrible thing to leave America. If you've been out of the country, you understand what I'm talking about, whether it be a mission trip, whatever the case may be. When I went to India, stepping back in time, when those plane wheels hit the American soil in Charlotte, then I'm talking about in the American's heart, something jumps up and starts to say, "Thank God I'm back home." And I'm telling you, but no man has ever left a greater place than the Lord Jesus Christ. He left a place called heaven as the soldier of God to take our place upon the cross of Calvary. Number two, the American soldier that also applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only leaves his home, but number two, he leaves his family. He leaves his family. One of the saddest times in war, and I've not experienced because I'm not a soldier. I've experienced a little bit of this by traveling overseas for mission work, but nothing in comparison to a soldier. One of the saddest times in war is when a daddy or a grandfather or a son or a mother or a daughter or a brother or a sister is saying goodbye to their loved one at the airport or bus station as they get on board to go overseas to help fight for the freedom of those they are leaving behind. There's no doubt that one of the hardest times on the soldier is not going and suffering the hardships, though that's hard. One of the hardest things is leaving the ones they love behind in America. What a heart-wrenching feeling that must be. I know that when I'm taken away from my family for a relative small amount of time that my heart aches. I remember my trip to India and Thailand. Of course, with the battle going on in my heart, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it back home or not. But anyway, as I was leaving that day, I didn't even let my family go to the airport. I didn't want them to go. I said goodbye at home. Brother Bob came and got me. When I stepped outside to get in the car, I had to walk around the side of the house because I was boo-hooing like a baby. I was only going to be gone for 16 days, 2 weeks and 2 days. I can't imagine a soldier boarding a plane, realizing he's not going to see his family for a year, 18 months, 2 years at a time. I'm telling you that one of the greatest and hardest things on a soldier is getting on the plane and realizing his wife, his kids, his mom, his dad, his brother, his sister is watching that plane take off and not knowing if they'll ever see him on this earth again. May I tell you that one of the hardest things on the Lord Jesus Christ was leaving his heavenly Father. We know they were one. I understand that. It's a great mystery in the Word of God. But may I tell you that when he hung on the cross of Calvary, that there came a time when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was a time in eternity when God the Father forsook God the Son so God the Father would not have to forsake me. And I'm telling you this morning that it's a great thing to understand that just like the American soldier left his home and left his family, the Lord Jesus Christ left his home of heaven and left his Father's side to come that we might be free. There's a third thing about the soldier, and that is not only leaves his home, number two, leaves his family, but number three, many times he suffers hardship. When a soldier leaves home and family to participate in a war overseas, there is no telling what type of hardship that he or she faces. I cannot say I know because I've never been there. However, we know that fighting a war is not a bed of roses. We know fighting a war is not taking a family vacation. Soldiers many times go through many difficult things during their time on the field. Some go without the luxuries of life, such as running water, a soft bed to sleep on, a roof over their head. I'm sure some from disease and potential malnutrition. The bottom line is the soldier's not involved in a cakewalk. He's involved in a war. This book I'm reading, I'm telling you, it is rare for a book to grab my attention in such a way that I don't want to set it down. And this book has grabbed my attention. It's got some raw language in it. This man is lost. He's unsaved as he goes to war. He's an Olympic runner. He's prepared to go to the Olympics. He's made the Olympics. And the Olympics that year got postponed because of what would be World War II. And the thing is he goes and he suffers hardship. His plane wrecks. He's out on sea on a raft for, I think it's 3 weeks, something like that. It might be 30 days. I can't remember. It's all kind of running together for me here. But make a long story short, he's captured. He and another friend of here are captured by the Japanese. And just reading, seeing some of the hardships that these men went through. Terrible. I'm right in the middle of the book right now. And I've just read about this man that I understand is lost. And he's in a POW camp. And he says, that's beautiful music. Where's it coming from? And he looked up and his friends right there, I believe they was on the raft at this time, didn't know if they'd ever see land again. They said he saw something in the sky. His friend couldn't hear anything, couldn't see anything, but he was hearing such beautiful music. He's in the POW camp and by himself, and he starts hearing that same music again. God's after this man. I'm telling you, there's no telling what these soldiers have gone through. No telling what an American soldier, some of them sitting in this room, and I hope this is not hard for them to listen to because I don't want to bring up memories. But I'm simply saying that when the American soldier gets on that plane, he is not going for a vacation. He is going to lay his life down if need be. And I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, he didn't come to be laid up in some mansion and have people come and bow down at his feet and bring him gifts. The Bible simply teaches that he came and he suffered hardship on this earth. Matthew 8:20 says, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. There came a time in the Lord Jesus' life that he was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested under false accusation. He was denied by one of his disciples. He was beaten in his holy face. He was spoken to in a blasphemous way. They scourged him with this cat of nine tails. They spit upon him. They pulled his beard out. They crowned him with thorns. They mocked him. My friends, the blessed Son of God, the soldier of glory, when he came, he left home, he left family, and he suffered hardship. That brings me to my fourth and final point, and that's this. The American soldier and the soldier of God, he not only leaves home, leaves family, suffers hardship, but he's willing to die. He's willing to lay his life down. The soldier who leaves country, family, and suffers hardship also knows that he or she may not be coming back home. They're willing to lay their life down for the cause that they are fighting for. As a matter of fact, there are many soldiers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and that's what Memorial Day weekend is all about. We remember those who died so you and I might be free. God help somebody who protests the American military. God help somebody who forgets these soldiers who laid their life down. Those people who hold those protest signs had the men and women die to give them the right to do what they're doing. And I'm telling you again, I am glad I'm born in the country of America. I love this country. I want to help save this country. This country's on a downward spiral. But I serve a God that can clog that hole and spiral it back up to where it needs to be. I love this country. Somebody says, I hate this country. Then what in the world you doing here, friends? Go off to India. Go off to one of these places. They've got plenty of room for you. They've got billions of people. Go on. I'm telling you. I have little patience with somebody who says, I don't like this country. I don't like anything it stands for. Friends, I love this country. I'm glad we're free here in this country. And one reason we're free is because there are American soldiers down through the years who are willing to leave home and leave family and suffer hardship and lay their life down. And I'm telling you today, that in the same way, glory. May I tell you that the American soldier, he has a hope in his heart that maybe I won't die. Maybe I'll make it. But the Lord Jesus Christ not only underwent those horrific hardships, but he knew he was going to die. That's why he came. As a matter of fact, he said in reference to his life, whenever Pilate said, don't you know I can have you crucified or I can have you set free? And the Lord Jesus said, you have no power at all over me. Don't you like that? He said, you have no power at all over me. He said, you only have what's given to you from above. He says, I'm willingly going to lay my life down and I am willingly going to take it back again. I'm telling you that he stretched out his hands willingly. He had spikes driven through his hands and through his feet. John 10:15-18, Jesus said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This is the commandment of my that I've received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, stretched out his arms, spikes driven through his hands and feet, and he paid the ultimate price. Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19 is the story. And may I tell you that when we consider these major thoughts, these four major thoughts that summarize an American soldier and summarizes the soldier of God, Jesus Christ, we ask this question: why is the soldier willing to go through all of this? Why is he willing to leave his country? Why is he willing to leave his home and his family? Why is he willing to leave the comforts of home and suffer hardship? Why is he willing to die in that particular battle if need be? And as we think about these questions, the answer that comes to my mind is he's willing to leave home and family and suffer hardship and even die for the freedom of those he loves. He's willing to go through all of this, even death, because he wants those he loves to be free. He wants them to live a life of freedom, to where a dictator doesn't place them in bondage. My friend, freedom is not free. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, the reason he left his Father's side, the reason he succumbed himself and gave himself over to the spittle of man running down his face and pulling his beard, slapping him, mocking him, spikes in his hands and through his feet and thorns on his holy brow, and a cat of nine tails ripping his back completely open. The reason he did all of that is for those he loves. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." May I say to you that this soldier that I'm reading about, this Olympic runner, I'm telling you, stirring a fire in my soul. He's in a POW camp. He's just been transported to another place where he thought it might be just a little bit easier. But when he got there, he met the devil incarnate. And this man has beaten the daylights out of these people. And as you see these flags, POW, prisoners of war, this soldier right now is under the authority. He's under the authority of a Japanese dictator. And he's beating the daylights out of him, trying to suck the life out of this man. And all of a sudden, I'm in this part of the book. I can't wait to get home so I can start reading it again. The day that I stopped reading last night, they had just for the first time in about 2 years, is my understanding, this man goes out and hears something flying overhead. And it's an American airplane overhead. It's a B-29 bomber flying overhead. And those POWs, they know that they're going to get beaten probably for getting the static, but something just jumped inside of them and said, "It's an American plane." I'm telling you that we have all, are you listening to me? When you are born in this world, you are born as a POW. You are a prisoner of war. You are under the dictates of the dictator known as the devil. The Bible says that we are born at enmity with God. That means that God is our enemy at that time. The Bible says we have all sinned in Romans 3:23. And because of that, we are under the dictates of the devil himself. He's not trying to help us. He's trying to hurt us. He's trying to suck the life out of us. He's trying to get people to burn in hell forever. But one day, glory to God, the skies parted and the Son of God came down into that camp and he died the death that you and I deserve to die so he can set the prisoners of war free. I'm telling you today that our sin must be paid for, and the payment of it is death. Not only spiritual, but physical death. And death is simply separation. Just like when you die, your physical body is separated from your spirit and soul. What we deserve because of our sin is eternal separation, death from God in hell. But Jesus came as God's soldier, and he stretched out his arms and he stretched out his feet, and God the Father forsook God the Son, and he took your payment on the cross of Calvary. He took the wrath of God the Father so the wrath of God would never have to fall on you. But he said, if you want to be saved And if you want to come out of the POW prison camp spiritually, and you want to get out under from the dictates of the devil, and you want to be set free, all you've got to do is call my name, he says. Anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, shall be saved. And I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ has bled and died to make you free from your sin and take you to heaven for all eternity. Romans 6:18, verses 20 to 23, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:15-18. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. John 8:36 again. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Those who are bound in sin, which is every one of us when we're born, the Lord Jesus Christ has left heaven his home. He left his Father's side. He suffered awful hardship, and he bled and died, and he rose again to set you free. If you reject him, you'll burn forever in the lake of fire. However, if you repent of your sin and receive him as your Savior, he'll set you free today. Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never trusted Christ, you're in bondage. You're a POW. You're a prisoner of war, and Satan is ruling and reigning and tearing your life all to pieces. And I'm telling you that you're in bondage to your sin and its debt. You will never get out of the POW camp unless the wages of your sin is paid and it's death, separation from God. And yet the soldier named Jesus Christ left heaven, left his Father, suffered hardship, bled and died, had his Father turn his back on him, and was separated just for a little while. He was separated. In a sense, he died that death too. He was separated from God the Father. And at that time, God blotted out the entire world. He was not going to let anybody see what was taking place. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he did all that to send a message to the POWs. I've already paid your price. All I want you to do is recognize it and simply call on me to save you. And my friends, when you do that, it won't be an American plane flying overhead. It'll be the blessed Son of God penetrating, and he'll come in and he'll save you and set you free and let you enjoy heaven for all eternity. eternity. Freedom is not free. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to hearts today. Somebody needs to be saved. Help them to see your great love for them today. And we who are saved, help us to take this message to lost and dying people. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. You know, there may be one here today, and it's possible that you've served to help free others. I'm talking about your military service. But maybe in your heart, you need to be set free. Maybe you're a soldier who paid the price, went overseas, and you've helped make somebody like me free, but nobody's helped free your soul and free you from sin. I'm telling you, my friends, do you really know that you're free? I'm talking about free from paying the sin debt, free from God's wrath, free from condemnation. The only way you can be free is by trusting in the one who paid the price for you. His name is Jesus. Is there one today, say, Jody, would you pray for me? Spiritually speaking, I want to be set free. I believe I'm one of those POWs that's in the prison camp of the devil. But today I see God's love for me. And I see the Lord Jesus coming down for me. And if all I have to do is call out to Him, I'd be a fool to stay in a prison camp and suffer all that hardship and die and go to hell when all I needed to do was call out by faith and ask Jesus to come rescue me. Is there one today, say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to be set free. I really would. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'd like to be set free. I'd like to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I don't know Him, but I'd like to. Anybody like that? I'm surfing. My eyes are looking. I'm surfing. If you wouldn't mind, put your hand up. Put it right back down. Put it up. Put it right back down. Just where I can see it. Now I'll recognize it. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. We want to help you. So again, I ask, is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Let me ask you this question. If you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I've been set free. But the Lord's speaking to my heart about giving this message to others. A message of pardon. A message of relief and release. A message of redemption. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I know a POW. You understand what I'm saying when I'm saying POW? I'm talking about somebody who's lost. Have you say, I know a POW, spiritually speaking. I know one. Maybe they're in your family or you work with them or something like that. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? You say, I know a spiritual POW. Yes. Let me tell you what you need to do. Take this message and say, listen, you don't have to stay there any longer. There's one who wants to set you free. Maybe you want to come and talk to the Lord about them. Ask God to give you boldness to speak to them and help you through it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought. Use it in a great way. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you need to do business with God, leave your places. Brother Gary sings, come on, talk to God. Somebody need to be saved. Come on. You want to talk to God about a POW? Come on. Brother Gary sings, you come. Come now. Would you do that? Come on. Talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it.
There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him now. He will save you.
You may be seated. They're going to continue to play. I'm going to prepare for baptism. If you are getting baptized today, I think we have one. If you'll make your way, and we'll be on our way in just a moment.
Let me give you a couple of announcements, and then we'll take the offering here in just a moment. Mr. Ellison wants me to let you know that the DVD of the Cadets for Christ program last Wednesday night is available, and you can see him about that. David's up in the balcony there, but that is available. And you can also put an order form in the box out there. Also, Brother Bob has got a fundraiser for the teens for their mission trip to Pennsylvania, and they are having a bag a bargain. And so if you've got stuff that you think someone would buy that you'd like to give away, help Brother Bob with that, our teens. And you're supposed to bring all that stuff Friday to the IES building or EIS over here at the corner, right at the corner. That's what will be. They'll be there from 9 to 4. And then then come Saturday if you want to give them some money for all that stuff that somebody else gave, okay? And to help our teens raise money to go to Pennsylvania. Finally, two more things. Co-ed volleyball begins tomorrow night. If you'd like to be involved in that, there can be a meeting for you tonight right after the service here by the organ. A few things we want you to know about concerning that. Finally, there's a baseball camp June the 28th, 29th for boys 8 to 12. And there are sign-up sheets in the lobby. Get the word out. Let folks know about that. The gospel will be given each day. And all the details are there for that. One more. Bible school is a month away at this point. How many have already turned in your sign-up sheet? Four of you. Good. For the rest of you that are under deep conviction and ready to hand those in, actually the deadline is next Sunday, so you're not living in sin yet. But we need your help. And there is something for everyone to do. So get a sign-up sheet. They're all on the Welcome Center. And if you'll get those filled out, it's each night. Runs from probably about 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and there's something for you to do, and we need your help. So take that sheet, pray over it, sign up, bring that back. That'll be a great help to us. All right? Good. Gentlemen, you come. We'll receive the offering this morning, and then we have one to be baptized. Lord, we do thank you for this message that has challenged our heart. Pray that you would continue to bless the service, this offering, this one who's be baptized. And the Lord bless our church. Continue to help us to be faithful giving the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Raise your right hand if you can hear me. Good. I'm looking for left hand, so let me hear you. This is Elizabeth Radford, and she's coming today to follow the Lord Believer's baptism. We appreciate this family and what they mean to this church. Elizabeth, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit. buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's been done as the Lord Jesus has clearly commanded, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Travis, I'd like you to stand just a moment, if you wouldn't mind. This is Travis Steeles, Brother Jack Moser standing with him. Travis has been dealing a long time now about his salvation. Believes he was probably saved when he was a child, but he's just been beaten up one side and down the other. Last week he came to my office, and Travis got it nailed down last week.
Amen.
He's coming today to make this public that he's getting assurance of his salvation. He's trusting Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Am I right by saying that? You know now you're going to heaven when you die. This is the beginning point. And go forward for Jesus Christ. We're happy for you. How many of you are happy for him? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. I want you to stay right there. I'm sure many of our folks want to come by and shake your hand. That'd be a good thing. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Please be back tonight, right in your place at 6:30. Pray for the John Sevier Chapel at 4:30. That'd be good. It's good to have Miss Lindsay's mom and dad here, so I'm going to ask her father if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.
We thank you, Heavenly.